no brokering a truce with someone whose sole reason for being is to extinguish your light. In or out, anyone near the drug game is going to be a casualty of some kind.
What is going on, BMF fans, Lamont Tyson fans, Life Games 1 fans on TikTok? This is going to be my episode 6, season 3 BMF review entitled Casualties of War. They revealed a whole lot of stuff this episode. Like, number one, Angel turned out to really and truly have Stockholm Syndrome when Meech had to go away. We predicted that. Number two, Henry is very unpredictable, and it looks like she's going to have a showdown with her daddy, Blaze. Number three, we saw the coming of age of Southwest T. But can we say that it is officially over between him and baby mama LaWanda, and he is officially stuck in the crutches of the cougar? We'll discuss that and so much more. This review starts right now.
I'm up early for the dealers come out. Everybody is outside till the killers come out. You ain't eating, you just act full. I'm impactful. Dozen funerals in a month, I got that pull. I will give it to niggas in all rap forms. Ignatius out right now on all platforms.
What's happening, everybody? You're in the building with the all knowing, all loving, all feeling, all seeing, all powerful. Damn all everything. Sexy as hell host of this channel. That's me, Lamont Tyson. Please subscribe to the channel. Download the podcast. Go check me out on Life Games 1 on TikTok. This episode was written by Garen Thomas. Shout out to that person and shout out to all the writers because they've done such a good job of installing real life American history into this story. And they did another job on that with Meech's storyline, which we'll get into right now. But before we do, I love they leave these quotes by the brothers. This one is from Southwest T. He says, despite what everyone believed, there was enough money to go around. And if everyone worked together instead of being crabs in a bucket, there'd be less bodies. Well, that highlights his whole storyline this episode when he was trying to get Henry to be less relenting and be more receiving of, let's just come together and get the money. And her mind is at a different place. So we'll get there in a minute. But we're going to first start out with my boy, Big Meech. Shows up at the funeral for Remy and his crew and a little man that died. And Remy was looking at him like, this MF with the rat tail, he got some balls on him. Meech knew what he was doing. Meech could see that there was a rift between Remy and his brother. And this was Meech letting the brother know that I came alone. I didn't come with no hitters. I want you to understand. I want to work with y'all, not against you. But Remy so thick in the head, them dreads so pulled so damn tight. He don't understand. Look, man, we got bigger enemies to deal with. And eventually, this is going to lead to the splitting of him and his brother. And the brother's going to take all the workers. You feel me? And go work with Meech. Then we get Meech back at the crib, letting his man know that he done set the seed in between Remy and his brother. And basically, he went and told him a story about Thor and Loki. I was like, damn, Meech was reading the Marvel Cinematic Universe back in the day in the comic books. Then as we get down with Meech's storyline, we learn that he's got a whole lot of different adversaries on his back. He got all the damn alphabet boys after him, the CIA, the FBI, and now the damn Black Homeowners Association. And this bitch right here, Lord have mercy. His want him to cut his grass. Now, y'all, do his grass look that bad to you? It don't look that bad to me. And she's over here trying to be, how should I say this? She done got herself a little bit of power and she wants to try to wield that power, which is the problem with people with power. And Meech had to just go ahead and set her straight like, chick, should I tell your husband about these short men that keep rotating in and out of your house while he gone like you the damn circus? You got one of them cars that can hold 500 men? And look at the look on her face up here looking like Dionne Warwick without teeth. She was not having it. And then BMF and this wonderful writer went into the history of redlining and what they tried to do to Black people back in the day. Now, I think it's a good idea that they give these backstories of why things were the way they were, because it helps you understand why Meech and some of these other guys made some of these tough decisions they made to do the type of things they did, because the rules were stacked against black people. And they was redlining, and in some of y'all's favorite President Trump, when he would say, build that damn wall, they did the same thing to black people all across America. They was building walls to separate us. Then you create a homeowners association to keep us out. And so Meech is going on talking about how he's got to worry about the DEA, the homeowners association, and the Atlanta police and the Red Dogs. But he gets rid of that chick pretty quick. And that was funny to me. But the problem is, ladies and gentlemen, I think he's going to have a problem with that chick. If push comes to shove and the police want to do something, she's going to definitely help their asses surveil Meech. So keep an eye on the homeowners groupie. Meech is having a dinner with his crew. He's talking to Tina about the things he need and letting the crew know that we've got to shore up and get some more soldiers. Tina's going to vet some people, and I'm going to need y'all to start getting this weight moved, because it's time to get moving. We lost soldiers, and we got to get this thing back in order. Then we see Meech's boy, man, straight from Detroit, getting pulled over by the Red Dogs. I mean, it's amazing that the police force just let these guys go rogue. Just do whatever the hell you want to do, not following no practices of law and order. And they slam him on the thing and take him away somewhere that ain't going to be illegal. And then the damn dog smelled something and started chasing Meech's car. What the fuck? Did Meech have cocaine in the trunk of the car and the dog smelled it? I mean, Meech could have had every right to let that dog run up on the car and then slam on the gas and run over the dog. But Meech would have never done that because, you know, he likes to keep a low profile, which I agree. You don't want to attract too much attention. They would have definitely been chasing his butt down then. But I'm just like, dude, why do dogs chase cars? What happens if you ever catch the car, dog? What you going to do? Post your comments. Let me know. Meech done got the meeting back up with Remy Boy. Remy Boy is in. He's in. He done told Remy, kick rocks. I'm doing this with Meech. And Meech basically told him, I'm going to wipe your slate clean. All you got to do is move my product hand over fist. We all saw this coming. I just thought maybe Remy would come to his senses. But now that Remy's brother is moving with Meech, Remy's probably going to have to be taken out. Post your comments. Let me know what you think. Angel showed her hand, but at least she gave Meech one last favor. So she's in here with one of the damn councilmen. And this councilman is in here singing like a damn mockingbird. She took his hand, placed it down there by her, you know what, ha ha. Then she sits on his penis, and within 2 minutes, his ass done nutted. Boy, y'all writers is a mess. In 2 minutes, little Grover Cleveland done nutted and done told her everything she needed to know about the investigations going on and told him to keep it between them. Now, he tried to get her to go to the hotel up the street, the motel, but he ain't need to go because she served him right there and she ain't even had to let the penis in the vagina. Damn. At least she did go back and tell Meech that Greeny has been apprehended and he's singing like a mockingbird that he clipped Mike. That's what Greeny doing. Greeny's in there singing like a mockingbird. All kinds of heat is on Meech at this point. And Meech is going to have to take off. So Meech let his soldiers know, look, y'all, I'm going to have to go. I'm going to go to St. Louis for a little while. This heat is too hot on me. But y'all hold it down. I'm going to still be working with y'all, but y'all going to have to hold it down. And this is when Angel played her damn Stockholm Syndrome hand. Now, I don't know whether to be mad at her or sad. But Meech told her, look, I can't take you with me. And she's the type of woman, just because of what she has been through mentally, I don't think she feels like she can take care of herself without a man. Because, you know, she went through this mess with Greeny and being basically sex worked. And now Meech stepped in and kind of took care of her like he's kind of like a daddy figure and a boyfriend all at the same time. And she don't know what to do. So much so, she going to tell his ass she going to go to Glock. I was like, man, you be. After all you done been through with this man and what has seems like it's only been 2 weeks, you gonna say that? I was like, Meech, you need to change the locks on your doors. Let her go on over there to Glock, get beat up, get slapped around. She probably going to come back to you, but at the end of the day, you're going to have to cut her loose. You don't say no mess like that, Angel. Damn, I was rocking with you. I was hoping for the best, but you played your hand. Now go do your mans. Okay, get the hell up out of here. Go and go with Glock, and you ain't going to be able to do nothing with him. But I don't think we've seen the last of her. Post your comments if you think we've seen the last of her, and let's hope her ass is not pregnant, okay? Let's hope she's not pregnant. Let's transition to Terry Flannery's story. And at the beginning of this episode, it was funerals for everybody. Terry was at his funerals for his man. Coach Cop was at the funeral for his crew. And Coach Cop was there just with baby mama for Kevin and Detective Jen. And he looks over, and ironically, you see Terry and his crew having a funeral. He runs over there, ladies and gentlemen, gets mad at Terry, pushed Terry ass in the grave. Now, Terry, I don't care. I don't care if he is a cop. Terry and his crew should have whipped Coach Cop ass. That's 6 feet in the ground. Terry looks like a bum. He looks weak in this grave. Looks weak. He should have at least had them push Coach Cop in the grave with him. Then they have fisticuffs. I ain't like this. Coach Cop need to get that ass whipping coming to him for this. And after that funeral scene, we get Meech on the phone with T telling him how to be a true leader and telling Meech, I mean, T, that you got to take care of your peoples. Look, bro, take care of your peoples before the need come. That's how you be a true leader. And so he took some of that advice, and we'll get to that in a minute. But his biggest concern with this shit with Henry, he wants to bury it. And LaWanda rubs him up and says, yeah, we'll go try to bury it. Well, that's exactly what the hell he does. Next scene, he goes right over there to LaWanda joint. I mean, excuse me, Henry joint. And it's like, look, let's bury this. Let's make money. Let's not do this. And of course, her hot head looking like St. Louis ass said no. It got so bad, she pulled out the knife and put it right in front of his toe. And she was like, nah, I ain't gonna go out like this. So T ain't get the answer he need. And why can you expect to get an answer from someone like this? If you look like St. Louis, you're not trying to help nobody but your damn self. And sometimes you make crazy decisions. And so then he goes over here to his cougar draws, Markeisha, and is having a vision of her getting shot while they screwing. And it was just a dream. And she's wanting to know, what the hell is up with you? And he didn't really want to talk to her, but he eventually did. And she was like, use me. I am more than a pretty face in an old body with leopard print underwear like they used to wear in the 60s, you know, showing my age. And he gives her, I mean, she gives him a great revelation. Go talk to Blaze, Henry's daddy. Boone used to go and talk to him and get things straightened out. Blaze is the big dog on town. He's got council members in his pocket. He's got police in his pocket. And sure enough, that's what Terry did. And Blaze respected that man because he came and did it. And we're going to get to what happened in a second. But after that, T figured out that, look, this is going to happen. Blaze is going to do business with us. And he started recruiting cats from Wayne State. Shout out to Wayne State in Detroit. All my Detroiters in this building. Because he needed to get his business expanded. And then he talked to his man that's infiltrating Henrietta and says, look, I'm going to need you to really, really help me get some things flipped around. And my man said he's starting a burger joint. So he's going to be able to put more pressure to help T get these drugs out there. So it's all good. And T went and got the fellas, not only Detroit Pistons jackets, but he got them basically courtside seats to the game doing exactly what Meech told him to do. Treat the fellas right up front before they need something. And they'll be loyal. And I was proud to see it. This was a growing up situation for Southwest T. He needed to do this. He needed to grow up. He needed to be confronted with Henry. He needed to go step to Henry's dad. These are all the things that's going to grow this man up so he can run his portion of this business. And now that all that's gone down, Markeisha's thinking, yeah, see, with old age comes wisdom. You need to start using my wisdom, okay? So he takes her to his restaurant and she wasn't trying to hear it. She wanted to go somewhere to get some fine dining, right? Not to his damn restaurant, but she went with it anyway. And then his beeper was going off and we know what it was. And she turned the damn beeper off. And then the chef had to come get him and say, look, something is going down at your house. And he left LaWanda right there with the chef. Markeisha right there with the chef. Told the chef to get Markeisha home. He gets to his house and the chef done damn near ratted on him. Said, look, told LaWanda that he was missing the birth of his new baby because he was on a damn date with Markeisha. And this whole scene right here, y'all, was awkward as hell. Do you feel me? You got Charles in there with Dr. Thunder from Down Under, who really was Down Under on LaWanda delivering a baby. You got Mama there. You got LaWanda having a baby. And then you got Nikki in there going crazy, who was the one that was paging Dr. Thunder from Down Under. I mean, just chaos. And we ain't done with this scene. We're going to get back to that in a minute. It got so bad, Nikki ran her ass upstairs because of all the drama going on down there and looked at LaWanda having a baby and saw that chaos. And Nikki was like, hell no, I'm taking these birth control pills. I don't want to have nothing to do with no damn baby. Golly, that poor Nikki. Post your comments if you feel bad for Nikki. Nikki is going through it, man. Nikki is just wild. Just wild. But Nikki, honey, if you ain't having sex, you ain't got to take that. So are you admitting that you're thinking about having sex, or you already done had sex? Whatever the case may be, she saw that baby and all that drama and was like, nah, this ain't for me. Then we get on the Coach Cop and Jen storyline, and this was a doozy. Coach Cop don't want to talk about his relationship with Henry. Whoever this captain is, ain't having it, fires Coach Cop on the spot. But then I hate what the captain did to Jen. Basically asked Jen to pick a side. She picked the right side. Then he fires her ass too. Now, see, some of us African-Americans feel like that's why we started this whole thing about not trusting white people. Because Jen gave him the information on Henry. Gave him information. Then he still basically, he ain't fire her. He put her on leave. But you might as well say he fired her. I thought that was tacky. Coach Cop, now that he ain't got nothing to lose, he goes on a mission. He damn near is a one-man wrecking machine. He is the one-man gang. He is Neo from The Matrix. He is Jack Reacher. Hell, you can call him the Black Columbo. Goes down there to Henrietta's spot, blowing up everybody, beating up everybody. Look at his ass, just looking tough as fuck, right? Just looking tough as fuck. And then gets the gun pulled on him by Blaze. And Blaze is like, yeah, that's my daughter. I don't care how messy she is. You ain't killing my daughter. And look at Henry standing there with that smug look. I'm telling y'all, her and St. Louis got the same daddy. And then, for whatever the reason, they didn't decide to kill Coach Cop. They let Coach Cop live. They dumped his ass somewhere at a warehouse in the middle of the parking lot with his damn sawed-off shotgun and his blue Air Jordans. That's like, damn, Coach Cop. Coach Cop is real and pretty bad, but so is Jen. Jen is crying with her daddy, not even eating her favorite meal, because she was starting to get close with Detective Kobe, who's dead now. And she felt like Detective Kobe could have been like the sister she lost. And Dad is making her feel bad. Dad is like, look, man, you endure hardship so that you can be even better when it's time for the good again. There will be more good than hardship. And I like that. That was a very touching moment because Jen needed this right now. She is down on her luck and probably her mental health status right now too. And she needed this. Blaze gets in his daughter's ass about her being a lady. And we learn why they have so many problems with each other. She feels like he wanted a boy. And he's not wanting a boy. He wanted someone that could just take over the business. He wanted a lady. And he's telling her, you will stand down against Southwest T. And she was like, you ain't going to tell me how to run my damn business. My business. And he gives her the look like, chick, do you know who I am? If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have a business. Stand your ass down before I go blaze heart in the brig. Now, do y'all think this hothead St. Louis wannabe gonna have it? Absolutely not. Because immediately after that, her mans lets her know who the mole is in the group. She goes snuffs out the mole. And ladies and gentlemen, what I played y'all in the beginning of this video happens. Not only do she set the dude afire, she licks the flamethrower. And then in the very end, she steals my man Detroit jacket. Now that's for Terry. She took that jacket because you know she's planning to wear it sometime when she's going to see Southwest T. So she's not going to change. And the question I want to know from you guys is, do you think that she would try to kill her daddy? Now that would be stupid because the daddy's pulling all the real strings. And if she was to kill the daddy, she would be asked out. She wouldn't have no political connections, no police connections. That would just be dumb. But, you know, when you're young and dumb, you do stupid stuff. And we've seen her every episode. We've seen her. She's done something young and dumb. So post your comment. Last but not least on this trail, ladies and gentlemen, the saga between Charles, Lucille, and my girl, Nikki. So they things started out where they was in the house and Charles and Lucille is fraternizing with each other, hugging and kissing, and Nikki see it. And then Nikki's thinking they're getting back together, and the mom's like, hell to the no, we ain't getting back together. Then Nikki intercepts a phone call, and I was wondering, well, who the hell is it? Well, we come to find out that's Dr. Thunder from Down Under, that she's just been kind of whapping it down. And then she tells her mama about it, her mama going to yoke her up like this. I thought this was unnecessary by the mama. Now, you could say she's being disrespectful, but she's telling the mama that this guy who's not my dad has been calling this house with you in it and my dad, the doctor. He keeps calling here, and I keep intercepting it. Now, what made mama mad was when mama gave her them birth controls, and she said, maybe you need it. Now, yeah, you could say that was a little disrespectful, but at the same time, mama, why did you got Dr. Thunder from Down Under repeatedly calling this house over and over and over again? You're not doing nothing about it. I didn't think she had to put her hands on Nikki to get her point across, but nonetheless, she did. And she wants Nikki to take these birth controls. Nikki's like, hell no. Then she gets all dressed up to go see Dr. Thunder from Down Under. And guess what? She told Chuck the truth and Chuck gave her the blessing because he feels like you picked me for a reason. And I thought that was admirable on both people's parts. Very admirable. She's like, look, go have your date. See how you feel. If you're still feeling him, then maybe we'll split. If you're still feeling me, I feel confident you're going to get back with me. So she go on this date and she does come clean to Reese about her situation, which was even more admirable on Lucille. But the problem I got with it all is now that Reese knows she's still married and living with Chuck, why are you trying to kiss this woman? Why? That says more about him than anything. So if he'll do this to you, Lucille, imagine what's going to happen. Y'all get into a situation and y'all thinking about divorce or what may have you. And he's out dating somebody. He'll probably do it to her too. I ain't like that on his part. And then he tells her he's on call. He gets a call. Damn it. If it ain't Nikki, paging Dr. Thunder from Down Under. He about to get under LaWanda. Because LaWanda is giving birth to the baby. They go home. He's helping deliver the baby. But then the shit gets awkward as hell because Charles walks in as your high school rival, the man who is rivaling you for your wife that has come back 20 some odd years later and is a doctor making more money than you. On the night he's having a date with your wife, is at the house delivering the baby like he's the magic man. This man can do everything. What the hell can you do, Charles, other than go to the GM factory? It had to be awkward for Charles. I could only imagine the ego stuff that was going on through him. And in the end, it played out in ego because as Dr. Thunder's delivering the baby, LaWanda's telling T, get the hell up out of here. And Dr. Thunder's going to say, son, take a step away. And Chuck had to look at him and say, he's not your son. He's mine. Damn. Lord have mercy. Y'all. This show right here. And the twists and turns that they got us on. All I can say is, man, post your comments on what you think is going to happen. Let me know how you feel about Dr. Thunder from Down Under. Let me know about how y'all feel about your favorite character, Henry. And what do you think she'll do to her daddy? I think she'll kill her daddy. But I want to hear from you guys. That's going to do it for this video. Don't forget to like the video, comment, subscribe, get that life game. Download the podcast. Follow me on Life Games 1 on TikTok. And until that next Sex is Hell video, I'll see you.